There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Hello and welcome to episode 18 of the DesignFootball.com podcast. This is a Manchester United special. My name is Jay. I am the resident blogger on DesignFootball.com. Today I'm joined by the Soccer Nomad podcast and blogs, Austin Long. Hi Austin, how are you?
Good, how are you doing?
Yep, not too bad. Now Austin, you are a Manchester United fan, is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay, now the Manchester United home shirt has just been released for the 2016-17 season. What are your initial thoughts?
Well, this one's really interesting because this one is a classic. This is a case of how the internet has changed this. I know that you and John and guys from Football Act have talked about how kit releases used to like not really be a thing, and then they became a thing, and now we knew months in advance what this was going to look like. Nothing really changed. I personally like this one. I think it's very reminiscent of the home shirt from, I think it was 2007 to 2009, sort of the all red, no contrasting color except for the white stripe down the back. And this is very similar to that. Adidas has moved to the stripes down the torso. So those are in white down the torso area. I really like solid colors. So I really like this one. The design elements at work on this one are, the big one, I guess, is that sort of hexagon shape that goes down the middle, and then of course the two-toned red colors. So those all work for me. The hexagon, they came up with, it's inspired by the B of the Manchester coat of arms. So I actually had to look that up. I had no idea. It's a bit of a stretch. They had to do something to divide the two colors. That's as good as anything, I guess. I would have liked to see maybe a little bit more contrast in the reds, because I really feel that, as the players perspire and run around the field, you really won't be able to tell a difference, and so it'll look all red anyway. But I like what they did. They didn't do anything crazy. Adidas, in my opinion, has been 2 for 2, so no real complaints from my end.
Yeah, the half and half thing, and they have actually been honest about this. We've seen this half and half type shirt from Manchester United in recent seasons. We saw it a few years ago with a goalkeeper shirt during Van der Sar's time. There was a half and half shirt that they brought out, which is a nod to the old shirts. Now, either they're referencing the white and red that Manchester United wore about, say, 120 years ago, or it's a reference to what is known as the Newton Heath shirt, which is gold and green. And this is the strange thing for Manchester United to nod to. And they've actually been more open about it this time. Because is there a little scroll on the back of the neck that says Newton Heath? Is that right?
I believe they call it a plate. But yes, it's the words Newton Heath in all caps. It's framed in a sort of ornate rectangle.
Okay, because for a lot of people, when you say Newton Heath, you think of the 1992 third shirt that was released, a very famous shirt. It was green and gold, meant to nod back to an early shirt. Before Manchester United became Manchester United, they were called Lancashire and Yorkshire Railway Company or something. They represented the railway workers, something along those lines. And supposedly back then, that team wore a green and gold shirt. There's some debate over whether it was a half and half green and gold shirt back then, but they certainly released one that nodded to it in 1992. Since then, there's been the Love United Hate Glazer green and gold movement. So you see a lot of, or you certainly a few years ago, you saw a lot of Manchester United fans wearing green and gold scarves at the game. So it was almost, there was a divide from the fans who were supporting some sort of traditionalism in contrast with the commercialism of the modern club. But now it's like Manchester United are reclaiming that back. Does that, is that something that you see in it as well?
For me, as an American who's been following the club for 20 years or so, when that kit came out, all I could think of was it looked like, for me, soccer jerseys are one color. And when it was half and half, it blew my mind. I had no frame of reference. I know, you know, a lot of kit nerds out there can talk about kits from the 60s, 70s, and 80s and all that. I had no frame of reference. And I was just like, this is crazy. And I loved it. I thought it was really different. And I didn't learn until years later sort of the historical background to all that. So then, you know, that leads to the historical background and the current environment of the club. For the historical background, I mean, the guys at United Kits and Historical Football Kits have done an amazing job of research, and so I checked out what they had to say. And basically, in the 1880s, it's really hard to nail down what exactly United's shirt even looked like. It's a lot of guessing and a lot of assuming, and they did the best that they could. And there was the green and gold colors of the railway, so people assume that. And there's some reference to they bought a set of cashmere kits for them, so you know, you kind of connect the dots and you figure it had to have looked something like that. They look through old programs and news reels. That's a historical. I mean, if for me, I take United. If you really, what we know is from like 1902, Newton Heath became Manchester United. They have been red ever since. It's red. In terms of, you know, referencing the Newton Heath, in terms of love United, hate the Glazers. For me, as an American, I don't get all of that. We don't have like people standing outside the bar where we watch games holding green and gold scarves saying, why are you going in there to support the Glazers? Our, you know, United fans in America just love United. Now, we might not agree with, you know, the transfer policy or the coaching decisions, but we love United. And this whole, the Glazers are, whether it's because they're Americans or because we don't have 130 years invested in the club, I don't know, but we just love United and we just love watching them. And for kit geeks like me, this is an interesting exercise in, you know, are they trying to reclaim Newton Heath? You know, what can they do to, stay true to the past while making a good looking modern kit? The whole Glazer element for me is not really important. And the Glazers will one day be gone. So I really feel that, you know, if they want to use Newton Heath colors, they should absolutely go ahead and do that. And because the Glazers will be gone one day, and the new owners could be good, bad, indifferent. So, you know, let's just make good looking kits is my overarching statement.
Yeah, you do see a lot of fantasy kits, and there were some counterfeit shirts released a few years ago that were in green and gold, and that seemed utterly ridiculous. You thought you would never see a green and gold shirt because of the backlash against the Glazers at the time. So the hierarchy would say to Nike, as it was for a long period, you can't release a green and gold shirt. Those are colours are really out of bounds for us. But they have, as I mentioned, there was the goalkeeper shirt, which had the half and half design, and now we're seeing it again, which is a reference to the past, is a reference to Newton Heath, but obviously steering clear of the green and gold in the palette. But the other elements to it, the hexagon thing. So I didn't think this seriously, but France is nicknamed the hexagon, which based on the geographical shape of the country. So I wondered if it was maybe a way of welcoming back Paul Pogba, but that remains to be seen. But apparently not. It's a reference to the history of Manchester as a city. But I looked at the shirt, and This is ultra pedantic, but I looked at the hexagons in the middle. So you have one half which is quite dark, one half which is lighter, and then you have these kind of interlocking, offset in more ways than one, hexagons that run down the middle as a divider. Now, the hexagons are all darker, aren't they?
Yes.
They're in the darker colour. Now, that seems a little bit strange, because I thought you could have on the furthest away from the dark side hexagons, they could be dark, maybe, and then the other ones could be light, and then it could create a dovetailing effect, how the two halves link together. But I haven't done that. I've done them all dark. But if you actually look very, very closely, the centre line that they've chosen to put these hexagons along is slightly off centre.
Right.
And it looks strange that you already got a bigger half because all the hexagons are darker, and then I think it's still too far over. And it looks a little bit strange. You can notice it when it joins the sponsor, and you can notice it off the collar. Now, I don't understand how that happens. It's ultra pedantic, and it's you would need to look very, very closely. But how they've made that mistake is beyond me. For probably the most valuable football shirt in the world, I can't, or second to Real Madrid, perhaps. I can't believe that that's actually happened. Is that noticeable to other people, or is it just me being particularly picky?
To be honest, I sort of passed it. I sort of saw it in passing. It did not stand out to me. Now that you've really laid out, I can definitely see it. For me, I see what they did. I see, you know, you're using your suggestion, I see how they could have done that. For me, it's not that big of a deal, and I think on TV when they're in motion and sweating, and I just don't think it's gonna be that big of a deal.
Okay.
But I know a little bit about you, so I could see how that would bother you.
yeah. It's not the first time someone said to me to just get over it. It's probably not that big a deal, but it's gonna cause me problems for the whole season to come. Not least because there's a dark side and a light side, and a Manchester United team managed by Jose Mourinho is all dark side as far as I'm concerned. So that's another problem with it. The other thing about this it's interesting that they've chosen that design, because Adidas took over the contract last season, and there's a video on YouTube by someone called, or the channel I think is called Soccer Reviews for You, and it shows the Nike shirt that would have been released last season had Nike continued with Manchester United, so that it was in development and it was produced to a certain level. I don't know how mass produced it was, but it ended up in sports stores in America, small probably sample items or something like that. And it is a half and half shirt. Have you noticed that? I know I've just dropped that on you. You might not have been aware of that, but is that something you were aware of?
I wasn't. I would love to see that.
Yeah, it's worth checking out. It does seem genuine. So Nike would have done that a season ahead. So it sounds to me then that maybe the directive has come from the club that they wanted to release a half and half shirt. If two manufacturers have done the same thing, that seems to me to be too much of a coincidence. So I think it's probably something that was being pushed by the marketing department of the club. Again, that might suggest trying to reclaim the history from the traditionalist fans who are anti-Glazer. I'm not sure. So that's the shirt, more or less. Obviously, the Adidas stripes down the side, which was seen in Euro 2016. What other elements are there to the shirt? The shorts and socks, they're pretty standard, are they?
Yeah, you know, white shorts with red trim, so they will cut, you know, the white stripes from the shirt will transition to red stripes on the shorts. I know that there was some consternation on the internet, especially about the Spain one where the yellows didn't quite match. But this one's a contrast. I like this. The socks, I love how, we can either talk about this now or later, but I love how they're using the Red Devil element of the crest. So that's right on the shin area, and they have like a black turnover with red trim. I love the socks. Adidas has done a really good job with the socks. I love them using this Red Devil there. some of the fantasy kits that, you know, hopefully we can talk about have done that. And I think that I'd like to see a little more of that. But it's, you know, it's just a, it's a typical United kit: red shirt, white shorts, black socks.
You mentioned the Spain kit there, because that is something, I don't know if I'm the person who's been complaining about it on the internet, but there has been a lot of people talking about it. I think the yellow is the same. I think it's an optical illusion. It's part optical illusion caused by the contrast with whatever colour the yellow is mounted on top of. So obviously with the Spain shorts, it's blue. With the shirt, it's red. So it creates a different look. So it does look like on the shorts, the yellow is Volt. I think the reason is, and it looked like that in matches, but when you look at the replica versions on the Adidas website, the yellows do seem to match. I think what happened is they are heat transfer stripes, or a slightly different material stripes, that are put on the shorts for the players. And I think the base colour of the shorts shows through, which slightly tints the colour of the stripes. That's my personal view. I don't think that it's mismatching. I think they were produced to match, rather than be slightly clashing colours like that. Is it something you've looked into maybe a little bit more than that, or does that sound?
It wasn't like possible, in, you know, in plausible. Researching for the Soccer Nomad podcast I did for year 2016. That was like in the back of my brain. We didn't really talk about it, but when I watched one Spain game, I, you know, it sort of came to the fore. And I think the one that really bothered me was that the Belgium trim was Volt instead of like a rich yellow, which made more sense.
Yeah.
But yeah. Sorry, tangent alert for those who are.
That's all right. That's our bread and butter. Tangents is what we're about. I actually quite like the Belgium, the Volt used on the Belgium kit. So I think it's a nice twist on the colours. That was probably my favourite kit of that tournament, if anyone cares, which they probably don't. But that was I like that kit, and I like that they used the Volt. Okay, you mentioned some fantasy kits, because obviously on Design Football particularly, we've had competitions before Adidas took over the contract. We had a competition there to design an Adidas Manchester United kit. So are there some on there that you've seen that have caught your eye and you like the look of?
Yeah. I was involved with you for the Atlanta United fantasy, you know, sort of mock-up, and it opened my eyes to, you know, the possibilities of design, and then, you know, all the options on Design Football of people who are out there doing amazing things. So in preparation for this, I kind of dinked around and saw what other people are doing.
Yeah, I mean, the thing with Adidas and Manchester United is that they have the background of the 80s, where there have been all of these, several of them iconic designs. There's lots of things that happened in the 80s that probably wouldn't happen now. Obviously, they've brought back these three stripes down the side now, which was very rarely seen in that sort of time. It was one of the few shirts, European shirts certainly, that you can think of that had the Adidas stripes down the side. Back then was it 1980 Manchester United away shirt that had it? So now you're seeing that come back. But there's a lot of elements that could be repeated from the 80s and 90s with those Manchester United kits. One of the patterns that I think is the 1990 away shirt had, they brought back in last season's, I think probably the third kit, which was the black and orange
in the chest area, and they also use it for the trim, that sort of hem of the home shirt.
Yeah. So, and it was a gradient pattern on the shorts, wasn't it, as well? Was that right?
Yes. I'd rather not talk about that.
I actually saw someone with them in the gym the other day. Sorry to bring up the fact I go to the gym. That doesn't... Please don't assume that means I'm hyper fit or anything like that. I'm not. I saw those shorts in... Someone wearing those shorts in the gym, and they were pretty good. I quite like them. The sort of use multi-purpose element of the shorts, they're sort of beach shorts as well as be in football shorts. So I quite like those things.
Yeah. Getting back to those, the design, the fantasy designs. You know, one. Let's see. I'm trying to find his name here. Lucas08 did a, like we were talking about, green and gold half and half, and you know, use a Nike template, and it really, what I noticed about the design, the fantasy designs that use green and gold, is that they work because the guys who designed them used, you know, Aeon or some sort of sponsor, and it was all in black letters, and I quickly realized that Chevrolet will look awful on these. Lucas08's version has the black Aeon. It's right across the middle. It looks fantastic. It's got an interesting collar, black shorts, and it looks great. But like, you take his design and if you put it in production with Chevrolet, it would look awful. Same for it looks like Luke Korns did a nice one. He even did a, when I was on for the MLS kits, that jock tag element, he put like a red devil down on the hem, and I really like that one too.
Yeah, the Chevrolet sponsor, that this is something, when we ran the competition on the website, that was something that was up for grabs, the style of how the Chevrolet logo would be presented. And although we saw a few examples of it in the way that Manchester United have chosen, or sorry, the way the contract dictates, I would imagine it has to be shown. I don't think many people thought that would actually come to fruition. People probably thought it would be in white as a contrast, and it would just be the lettering. But to have the big cross design as well, that's quite surprising, isn't it? It's such a obtrusive sponsor, and does that take away from the design, do you think?
So when Chevrolet was announced, I was like, okay, that's fine. And then when I first saw the mock-ups and the actual kit, it looks fine. It's a little jarring to me. I'm hoping if they move towards getting rid of the word Chevrolet, that would be the first thing I would do. And the second thing is I would make that sort of bow tie logo one color, monochromatic. It could be gold, it could be white. You can edge it in a contrasted color so it gives that sort of depth and shape to it. I get that. But I would just go one color, because right now it's sort of gold, white. It's a bunch of different things. It just, I like it on the red, not so much on the white. And that's what I'm hoping that they do in the next couple of years.
It's quite a brave move to do that. But I could see how it would. I can imagine it now, and I can imagine it looking very good. It could almost become iconic. The reason why I don't think they do that is, I would imagine Chevrolet in America is a huge car brand. So I don't know what percentage of the cars on the roads would be that, but it would be incredibly recognisable, certainly the logo. In this country, I don't think it's the case.
Right.
They don't have as big a hold. And I think maybe taking over the Manchester United sponsorship, obviously Manchester United have a global appeal, and they're trying to push sales in America. But I believe that trying to get hold of the UK market as well might have been a decent part of it. I wonder whether they'd be brave enough to remove the lettering. I think they may be.
And I think I totally agree with that. I think what, you know, I quickly realized is this shirt and this logo is not for me as an American. It's for the European market. It's for the Asian market. It's increased sales for them. I know before we started talking, Atlanta United released their shirt sponsor, and a lot of people thought that they would go Coca-Cola is local to Atlanta, and then a lot of people thought it would be that or one of the airlines. But they chose a brand that is trying to get a bigger footprint in the southeast. Coca-Cola, everyone in Atlanta drinks Coke, literally everyone. They're not going to sell any more Coke by being on Atlanta United. The company American Family Insurance signed because they are trying to increase their footprint in this area. So, you know, you get a bunch of Atlanta United fans running around with the shirts, you get the TV games. Now, that's how you do that. Coca-Cola is not going to do that. So I think from the Chevrolet's point of view, they are trying to, this is a global play. This is not an American play.
Yeah. It is a pity when sponsorship deals are arranged without actually considering what the kit geeks want. Because Atlanta United without Coca-Cola on the front, that sounds like sacrilege, really. Or the other one would be Delta Airways, is it?
Right.
So one of those at least, but no. It's a shame, but we wait to see what those kits look like. Maybe we'll be proved wrong on that, and the other sponsor will work out better.
Yeah. I want to mention one more fancy kit. Bico, BICO, put together a home shirt using it, maybe like a modified vapor template. But like I talked about earlier, he has the trident of the Red Devil coming over one of the shoulders. And I really, really like this one. And I hope that, you know, Adidas or whoever the manufacturer is in the future uses more of these elements. You know, the full-time Red Devils YouTube channel. I like their logo, how it uses the trident. And I hope that more design elements do that too. So anyway, the fantasy, going through the fantasy kits was amazing. And there's some really creative people out there.
That, the one you mentioned there, I think it's a nod to the Adidas kits for about 1991, 92, that sort of time, the Adidas equipment, where the three stripes came over the shoulder as three, Dennis Hurley calls it obnoxious bars, I think. And I think that trident is, if it's the one I'm thinking of, that trident is used to kind of replicate that. Is that what we're saying over the right shoulder as the player wears it?
Yeah,
right?
I know that, you know, you guys have talked about the Liverpool shirts and that 94 template, that sort of thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm glad United never got one of those, but I know the template you're talking about.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing about Manchester United. They've had some fantastic kits. So as soon as Adidas stopped, and they were making great kits for them, one of the last kits they made, or one of the last shirts, certainly, that they made was the 1991 European, the one-off shirt, which they wore in the 1991 Cup Winners' Cup final. That was a really great shirt, and sort of very much of its time, and about as modern as you could get at the time. I remember them playing against Barcelona in that match, and Barcelona's kit, although it was great as well in its own way, seemed incredibly dated compared with the one Manchester United were wearing. So, they've had great kits with Adidas. So then when Umbro took over, there was some fantastic things that they did there, referencing the history, innovation in the styles, but also with a retro feel. So, yeah, pretty lucky overall, but it's a hugely marketable club, so the true effort really is going to go into Manchester United kits, you would hope. So the other ones, we've got the away, we'll talk about the third kit, which I don't think is released yet, but is, we've seen enough leaks to be pretty sure of what it is. We'll get to that in a second. But the away kit is the blue one, is that right?
Yes. This one, you know, it's been out for probably about a month or so, and I really don't like it.
right.
This one, so, you know, every couple of years, Manchester United releases a blue kit as the home shirt. You know, in my research, you know, from the late 30s to the mid 50s, it was used as the chain shirt. And, you know, recently it pops up every couple of years. This one has several things happening. One is Adidas is using sort of this heathered T-shirt look. I think it started with, as far as I can tell, it started with Real Madrid's away from last year. It was sort of that gray, almost looked like they were wearing like T-shirt and shorts. And here in America, I think we hinted at on our chat about MLS, but the Seattle Sounders have that as their third shirt. It's a very interesting, very, very vibrant light blue and contrasting sort of darker blue. But it's got these like elements in the shirt, so it is if you're wearing a T-shirt. United got the treatment on that, and I don't mind the shirt so much. I don't mind that texture. What really bothers me is that they used red as the trim. I just don't think that works. It was used a couple years ago. For those that remember in the early 2000s, sorry, the mid 2000s, there was a Nike shirt with the blue, sort of that red bar going across the shoulder. And I just didn't, I don't like the blue and the red. And this one's got like this really dark red. I feel it's kind of muddled. I'm interested to hear what you have to say, but it just, you know, it's the badge is this red and it just gets lost in the shirt. I think that they should have used, you know, white or, I don't know. I would have done white. I think white with, you know, the Adidas in white, the Manchester United badge in white, the Adidas stripes in white would have allowed it to pop and really look good. And then what really, really, really bothers me is that the shorts are a darker blue and they just don't match. It just doesn't make sense. If you want to do all blue from, you know, the 1968 European Cup final, that's great. And I love that. You know, the 2008 version I have, I love. It's one of their best shirts. You know, it's very simple. But this contrasting short color looks awful. And I'm not sure why they did it.
Yeah, so I think it's like a marl effect. I think that's what a lot of people call it. Yeah, as you say, Real Madrid had it last season with their grey kit. They had a grey and vault yellow kit, I think. Vault yellow trim on it. And it was the same thing. You had a lightish shirt, and then you had slightly darker shorts. And the only point at which it tied in and it looked like it matched was actually when the players were sweating a lot, and when the sweat patches came through, that tied in with the color of the shorts.
And so United played Dortmund in ridiculous heat in Shanghai, and I saw that and I was like, oh, that's why they did it.
Yeah, but that's a terrible, terrible thing, isn't it? It's you are drawing, you are creating perspiration, you are turning perspiration into a design feature. And I mean, I haven't seen that since the global hypercolor t-shirts of the early 90s.
Well,
that's a strange approach.
Yeah, I don't know if you remember I think it was the Portugal from 2014, their home shirt had that sort of blinds, so the alternating maroon colors, and when they sweat, it became the maroon of Portugal that you would associate with it. But until about the 60th minute, you didn't see it that way.
Right. Okay. There is a phrase in France. People talk about mouiller le maillot, which means wet the shirt. So it's something that players will call. The supporters will call out for and say, tell the players to wet the shirt, as in start running around a little bit more, put more effort in, start sweating, so we know you're actually trying. And I don't know. It can't be a nod to that. I can't believe that they're saying that. It's a nice marketing thing to say they only really look like the team that they are once they start sweating. So until that point, if they're not putting in a lot of effort, then they're unrecognisable. But they become recognisable when they're really putting the work in, and it shows that it's actually literally coming through.
Adidas Soccer, if you're listening, you can rewrite your marketing materials and relaunch the shirts. And you can credit Jay and myself.
Yeah. Yeah. You can. Yeah, they can have that. If they're brave enough to use that as part of their marketing, then they can have that. That's fine. So that's the case with that shirt and the Real Madrid one. The other thing is that traditionally there has been a contrast in colours between shirt and shorts, and sometimes it's barely noticeable. But generally speaking, the fabric used on the shirt and the shorts is different. So the printing and the dyeing effects are going to have a different effect overall. So I remember a few years ago, there was a Barcelona kit where the shirt would look orange in daylight, but I think under floodlights it would look pink. And that was a deliberate thing, which was a great thing, but it wouldn't have the same effect on the shorts. The first choice shorts were navy, but there were some orange / pink chain shorts for it, and those wouldn't look, they wouldn't change at the same rate. So if you look at pictures from that time, you can see the change in colours, certainly with the socks as well. So the player would be wearing an orange shirt but would be wearing pink socks. But Nike's new thing is that the shirt and shorts are made out of the same material, certainly the is it the stadium version or the authentic version, whichever one the players wear, is actually made out of the same material, which they say is revolutionary. And then you could avoid this sort of thing. So Adidas are a little bit behind there, maybe, if they're still insisting that the shorts and the shirt are going to differ slightly. If that makes sense. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it makes sense to me. I really think, you know, the Nike, that talking point for the new Vapor kit is interesting. And since I'm not a high-performance athlete, I really don't know how all that works. but you do mention the sort of when players sweat or perspire, how the sort of the thing, the pictures of the marketing materials are not reflected on the on your TV screen. And I, you know, there, that's definitely an interesting element to kit design and all that. I just think in this case, I think Adidas just made different shorts, just different colored shorts because. And I really don't think they were thinking about sweating through the shirt or under the floodlights or anything. I think it's just something they decided to do.
Which is a strange thing, isn't it? We've seen it. We've seen different tones. So about 5 years ago, there was a lot of thing in fashion as well as in football kits. So I think Bayern had a kit a couple of years ago that was part orange and part red, maybe. So there was the putting together of these two colours that, generally speaking, traditionally you would describe as clashing. They called it colour blocking or something. I can't remember exactly what they called it, but it suddenly became in fashion to have clashing colours next to each other in these big blocks. It doesn't seem to work on this on the Manchester United away kit, and the red as well. Like you say, the only reason Manchester United wear blue is to nod to the 68 European Cup victory. So in that case, get something that is more faithful to that. And that certainly didn't have any red trim on it, as far as I remember.
Correct.
So it's sportswear. It's not necessarily Manchester United, I would say. So it's... the other thing regarding the Seattle Sounders, we talked a while back, I can't remember what number it was, but we talked about the MLS kits that came out earlier this year, and we talked about Seattle Sounders and I talked about base layers as is my wont, and the thing is, the replica shirts and the player shirts for MLS kits are very, very different, and on that kit, one of them, I think it's the replica ones, the shirts are actually, the sleeves of the shirt are actually a plain, rather than the body of the shirt, which has that mole pattern. And you see things like that, they often have different collars as well on the shirt. Have you noticed that in MLS?
Well, in terms of the authentic and the replica, yes. You know, the venting elements and the logos are, you know, not embroidered, they're, you know, heat transferred. I haven't seen it this year, but there was a collar one, and it's escaping me, but I know what it was. It was a Seattle for a couple years ago. They had the authentic that won the France, those, I forgot what you call it, the ones that make the body shape, those sort of tape around from the shoulder down to the hem.
Tech fit,
thank you. I did see authentics of that, and I just, like, wow. Like, it is a big difference. And the weight is a big difference. I think that's the biggest thing I notice when you go to the, you know, if you go to a game, you go to the store, and you just buy the replica, and then you see the authentic, it's the weight is the biggest difference. In terms of design, I haven't seen... I mean, there was one a couple years ago, but recently, I mean, they look the same. But like I said, it's the weight and the sort of performance elements that are different.
Yeah. Yeah, it's worth having a look through the individual stores of the MLS teams, because most of them will have both on sale. They'll have the authentic shirt, which would cost probably $50 more. It's genuinely part of the design is different. I don't really understand why, and I wonder whether there's a slightly different market research. It's probably how much it's going to cost to develop and how much it's going to cost to mass produce, But I wonder if there's a little bit of market research that goes in there and says, well, what's going to look great on TV and what's going to look great in the street, maybe. I don't know. It's just speculation. But sometimes they are so different, the two shirts. What is marketed as a... Maybe it's to say, if you really want to look like the players on the pitch, then you have to pay that premium.
Yep.
Otherwise, you're going to have something that's a long way away from what's being worn on the pitch, and noticeably so. So it's interesting stuff anyway. Okay, so that is the away kit done. Now, the third kit, which isn't released, describe it for me. You've seen the third kit, I take it.
Yep. I would say it's a white shirt, and it takes this hexagons, uses it across the shoulder in, I would say, a dark gray or charcoal. And it kind of does this gradient thing on the shoulders. And then this color, this dark gray, is what's used for the Adidas stripes, the logos, and then the contrasting shorts. From the leaks, you know, that we've seen so far, the darkness of the gray is in varying degrees. But I like it. I like the contrast. I think it's something very, you know, it's something different, but not too radical. And then I'm interested to hear what you have to say about the hexagons on the shoulder. You know, it's sort of interlocking. It's got the darkest gray is through the middle, and then it kind of fades out from there.
Yeah. It gives off a kind of a snakeskin effect, doesn't it? It seems like semi-reptilian, I would say.
So yes, and that's where I was hoping you were going to go, because I was talking to someone on Twitter about that, and we were having a back and forth, and it is, when we were talking about the MLS shirts, the Philadelphia Union have a sort of a tannish khaki middle stripe, big, thick stripe down the middle, and contrasting navy blue. And this year, part of their sort of their logo elements is a snake. So they did a fading snakeskin through the khaki parts. And I really wish United had done, or, you know, Adidas had done that instead of this, because this one doesn't quite work.
Yeah, I don't know if it's the intention, because I don't know why they would try to do that. I know, I mean, Warrior gave Liverpool some horrendous kits with all kinds of strange, almost tribal patterns on the sleeves, and that was terrible. But I don't know why it would happen with Manchester United. I would have thought that they would have a better narrative to what they do than to say, okay, well, a snakeskin's an interesting element.
They accidentally got into it by trying to stay with this B hexagon tribute thing. I think they actually, it just happened on accident, and they were probably thinking, okay, we're going to use the hexagons, and we want to do a gradient. And so when you put the two of those together, they actually backed into a snakeskin. I don't think snakeskin was the the intention.
No, but that is the result. And what you say about the Philadelphia Union shirt, I know it's the one you're talking about there, and that is fantastic. That's a great element to it. I don't know if we spoke about it when we did our podcast. I don't remember us talking about that. Maybe it was one that was released a little bit later, but that was fantastic. What colour are the shorts on this third kit then?
So it's whatever gray that's eventually used, it's this gray. So it's you have a white shirt and contrasting dark gray shorts with the badge on the front. Again, I like it. I haven't seen a full color, or excuse me, a full picture of the kit. I imagine the socks would be white, but they could be this gray charcoal-y color. But yeah, I mean, they needed, with the red home and the blue change, they needed a white one, and so this is what we get.
Yeah, that was always something that Alex Ferguson, I believe, insisted upon. He wanted a white change kit every season. So that's, I don't know if they've had it every season. I imagine they've had it every season one way or another since he left, either through carrying it over from the previous season, or releasing a new one. But yeah, Manchester United will always have white kits, I think, for the foreseeable future, or the option of wearing a white kit. I'm a little bit surprised at that. There is, as we've mentioned, there's so much to choose from in the past, and to create something entirely new, well, there's nothing wrong with that necessarily, but to have something that goes away, that appears to go away from the theme, despite tying in with those hexagons on the sleeves, I'm not sure how popular that will be. It remains to be seen. Hugely popular compared with shirt sales of most other clubs and national teams on the planet, but whether it hits the true potential of a Manchester United kit, I don't know. That's the three kits. Where are we with Adidas as things stand? Are we, as a Manchester United fan, would you say you're pleased with the output so far, or must try harder, or what?
So far, both home kits have been home runs. Last year's away, which was a white with the the red Adidas stripes down the shoulder, really, really grew on me, and that's one that I might pick up, especially if I can find one with like the FA Cup. That's the one they won in the FA Cup final against Crystal Palace. I might be willing to part ways with some money for that. So that was a good one. I mean, the black one from last year, the third strip, I didn't really like. I could never decide if it was red or orange trim. The shorts were absolutely horrific, and I'm glad they only had to wear them like once, I think, or maybe twice. I mean, they even used all black shorts, so they didn't have to wear them. So I didn't really like that. I think, again, had they done that shirt with a white trim, I think it might have worked, because they only used that, I don't even know what to call it, that sort of M Adidas thing from the 90s that's, you know, across the chest. And if you looked at it in the right light, you could see it. Otherwise, it sort of blended in, which I like. I don't need it to be in my face. And then this, you know, the away from this year, I get where they're coming from. I think it's poor execution. So, and if the change is going to be what we think about, that's in the middle. It's not awful, but it's not awesome either. So they're about 50% in my opinion.
Yeah. The other thing about the third kit is I would be more accepted of that design if it was a goalkeeper kit.
That's what it looks like. All the MLS goalkeepers are wearing almost a variation of that. It's not a hexagon. I think it's a different geometric shape, but it's shiny. Like I'm sure you know what we're talking about. I'm trying to get to describe it for the listeners. But the shoulders have this geometric shape that's shiny, and it kind of. But it kind of looks like this United change shirt really looks like that. Excuse me, the United third shirt really looks like that, and that's not awesome.
No, it's a strange one. The other thing about the kits, the United kits, obviously Adidas is top club. Well, Real Madrid and Manchester United are the top. The top teams in its stable, really. Perhaps there'll be an international team thrown in there, Germany or something, but they're really up there. So the misconception, I think, was that the top teams would get the torso stripes next this coming season, 2016-17, would get the torso stripes down the side, and the lesser teams might get a slightly older style or a more team wear style, where the Adidas the stripes remain on the shoulders, but they've got the stripes on the shoulders of the away kit as well. Now, is that a cover at all bases sort of thing, or I'm a little bit surprised at that. I would have expected all three kits next season to utilize this new approach with the three stripes down the side, or maybe it's for visibility and they wanted at least one Manchester United shirt to have visible stripes when players are being interviewed after games or something. Do you have any feelings on that, or what do you prefer? Because the feeling is that this is a very much a temporary thing, and the shoulder sleeve stripes will be returning sooner rather than later. Do you have a preference on that?
Well, I like this new version, the stripes down the chest and torso. I prefer that because I like this clean, you just look at it and you see it sort of look. Manchester United Adidas shirts from the mid 80s with that sort of thing, that design element that comes over the shoulder with no Adidas stripes. I love it. That's like one of my favorite ones. Because the Adidas stripes, it's too much. I guess I don't know why it bothers me more than, say, the Kappa tape or the Hummel chevrons from years past. But the Adidas one is just too much. It's like, I get that you're Adidas. I don't need the three stripes. But I understand why they do it. I think that they're doing the not all teams have it down the torso, and then the same team having it in different places. I think it's just to keep it. I don't think they want to commit to anything, so they just kind of do a little bit here and a little bit there. So that, it's not like a big design change, say in 5 years when they go back to the shoulders. I would much prefer it that way, a little bit here and there, instead of always seeing the stripes always in the same place.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Yeah. Now, the question now is, so you've had the home shirts, as you say, you're pretty happy with from the past two seasons. I know it's jumping the gun a little bit because the shirt's only just been released and we haven't even started the new season. But where do Adidas go from here for the following shirt? Do they dip into history again, or is there a wholly new approach that they could take with Manchester United?
Yeah, that's something I've thought about. Like, what would I want to see? Nike really didn't do. So Nike was the manufacturer before. Nike brought in the chevron. There's a red shirt with a black chevron, which is like a callback to like the early 1900s. Other than that, they use that gingham check pattern, the picnic blanket shirt, which is, sort of the textile industry of Manchester. I guess what I would like to see, at least from the home shirt, is just keep it red and then maybe like little hints. I mean, this hexagon that they used this year is not—it's not awful, but it's a hint. I like the sort of how they kind of just like do a hint back to the past. I would like to see the laces come back. I would love that. I don't think that will ever happen, but I would love to see that. And then I would like to see sort of these shadow patterns. I think they could bring that back in a small way, not like over the top 90s way. But I wouldn't mind seeing something used in that way. And then I guess for the change and the third, I would love to see a green and gold come back. I really thought, because there were leaks early where the green and gold was the leak and everyone thought that was going to be it. So that's why I thought they were doing like a half and half red to do with that, to match the half and half or the green and gold. But that didn't quite happen. I thought they were going to try and make a set out of it, very appeal to John Devlin types out there. But that didn't happen. For me, the blue every couple years, just keep it tasteful. Same sorts of things that I said about the home. You know, keep it modern, maybe a hint to the past, you know, white shirts. And like I said before, I think they need to start using more design elements from the crest, you know, the ship, the devil, those sorts of things to kind of freshen it up instead of just being a red shirt or a blue shirt or a white shirt.
I wonder where they could go. You mentioned the chevron that Nike put on the shirt. That was an interesting way of doing things, because the shirt it actually refers to is a white shirt, I believe, with a red chevron, or a thin red chevron. I think that had the lace-up collar as well, that original one.
Yeah, from the 1920s.
1920s, okay. 19. So the centenary is around the year 2000, was it? When was when Manchester United became Manchester United?
Yeah, so 19. So they were founded as, you know, they renamed as Manchester United in 1902. So the 100th anniversary kit was that reversible one.
Yeah.
Which I have, and I love that one. You know, that was the away slash third shirt. You know, white on one side, gold on the other. That was the last Umbro kit.
Yeah, and I know those, and they don't stand up too well to be a wash, because they have heat transfers on the gold side. Certainly, I think they have heat transfer badges, and they don't tend to hold up too well. But the thing with Nike is the gingham thing was a little bit trying too hard to put something new on each season, so the gingham check type print on it, which it worked out okay, because I don't think it was that noticeable, it wasn't that obtrusive, but it was a little bit desperate, I think. So whether or not Adidas will hit the same problems, and they're only two seasons in, and I'm a little surprised that they've gone with this hexagon thing so early, with when there are so many things that they can pick and choose from their earlier shirts. But I don't know if their idea is to start releasing the 80s shirts as retro models as well, as part of the originals range. That's something that's open to them. I think they've done it with tracksuits and sweatshirts, that kind of thing already. But I don't know if they've actually done it with a shirt yet. Have you seen any actual shirts being re-released?
You know, other than, was it Tofts and some other stuff, I haven't, Score Draw, I haven't seen anything from Adidas, but that's not to say they're not out there. I think that they should keep those designs in their back pocket, so that they could roll out a mid-80s version as the 2018 kit or something like that. I wouldn't mind seeing the sort of deep V-necks that they use this year, along with some, you know, modern elements, sort of what they did last year, sort of tweak that a little bit. But yeah, if they release, you know, if they go whole 80s range, I think they're going to lose some design elements that for the future, because they have a 10-year contract, so there's 8 more iterations to go.
Ah, yeah. So they're going to have to keep the ideas coming. Yeah, it's interesting, and I am a little bit underwhelmed, I think. When I remember being incredibly excited when I heard that Adidas were coming back, and so far the 6 kits that have been that I've seen, it's not great so far for me. But I'm outside of it. So the key point, I suppose, is to appeal to Manchester United fans. You're reasonably happy with the home kits, the change kits maybe less so. I'm hoping for better in the future, and to have a second season where you're looking at it and thinking, could have done better again, is a little bit of a shame. It's had its moments so far, but just the state of things today, I think we'd hope for more.
You know, the Euro 2016 and Copa America kits, I think I was very down on several of them, and I either softened or I just ignored those. I really like the kits from the tournaments this summer. And then I'm getting ready for the EPL preview show that I'm going to do. And there's some really interesting designs. And what's really striking me is that there's 10 different manufacturers for the EPL season. It's interesting how there's all these new companies coming in with new ideas. And I think it could help, kind of push Nike and Adidas to be a little more creative, a little more risky, instead of just, rolling out a, Adidas rolling out a solid body with stripes down the torso, or Nike just keep rolling out variations of this Vapor template.
Yeah. I think they are those. It's interesting that the manufacturers are deciding to put so much money or so much money into one big team or a lot fewer teams, but with a huge reach. So the international team, so Nike put a lot of money into France. Obviously, they're really trying. Rumor has it they're really trying to get hold of Germany as well. So they go for very big teams, but then letting some of the smaller contracts slip. It is quite exciting. The other manufacturers popping up. There's some very interesting things going on, and it does keep it fresh. But we will always look to the likes of Adidas and Nike to see what they're coming out with. And it's a strange time. The Vapor kits have their good points and their bad points from Nike, but. Yeah, overall, perhaps a little bit of complacency setting in from a lot of the designers. So, yeah, head over to designfootball.com and then you can see what everyone else thinks should be going on in the world of kit design. Austin, this has been fantastic. Thank you for coming on. Wonderful knowledge of Manchester United. How can we get hold of you? So, obviously, you're on the Soccer Nomad podcast and blog. How do we get hold of you for those?
Yeah, my blog is soccernomad.wordpress.com that has all my posts on kits, and I post about memories through memories that have shaped my soccer fandom, if you will. I also have austinlong1974.podomatic.com. I do a lot of interviews with kit geeks like yourself and Rich and Chris, and I'm hoping to get John on the show, and JR Francis is Atlanta resident who joins me from time to time. So we have the occasional kit podcast. I also interview fans, especially here in Atlanta, and about who they support. I really find interesting that there's almost a dozen different supporter groups here in Atlanta supporting teams from all over Europe. And so I talk to them, try to watch a game with them, talk about the game, talk about the match, talk about their memories of clubs. So that's been really great to meet all these different fans. So yeah, so that's the blog and podcast. And you can follow me on Twitter at AustinLong1974. So, I'm always scouring Twitter for, the recent kit news and soccer news and rumors and all that, and having great conversations.
Yeah. Regarding the podcast, whatever JR Francis is on, that's certainly worth listening to. He's very, very opinionated. He doesn't really hold back, does he?
He doesn't. He makes a good foil. I'm more down the middle, and he goes out there and he does not pull punches. He's a graphic designer, and he has a lot of I feel qualified opinions about how colors fit together, design elements, very much like yourself, like the hexagon. Now I've got to go ask him about, because I wonder if he saw that. He's a City fan, so we have that dynamic going on as well. So we just have great conversations about kits.
Excellent. When you speak to the supporter groups as well, would definitely recommend listening to those podcasts where the different clubs around Atlanta, the different supporter clubs, mainly European teams, there's when their representatives come on the podcast, because there's some fascinating stories on those. Definitely worth a listen. And they are, your podcasts tend to be a little bit shorter than these, don't they? What do you do, about half an hour at a time, is it?
Yeah, I try to keep it around 30 minutes. The kit ones tend to go a little longer because everyone's got an opinion. But yeah, I keep it short, and because I know you know, people, I mean, I'm personally a big podcast listener, so I'm listening to podcasts all the time, so I can't listen to them all. But I try to keep it 30 minutes, get to know some of the supporters, have them give a quick story, how you can find them, you know, on social media and stuff. And it just, you know, it's just a quick conversation that, you know, and ideally, you know, I'll do second, third, fourth podcasts with these guys and really explore the groups and more of their members.
Yeah, they're great listens, and obviously it's something that you don't need to dedicate a whole day to when you got them in these small chunks like that. So that's fantastic as well. Thank you so much, Austin. If you want to get hold of me, I'm J29ers on Twitter. There is Design Football on Twitter as well. There is designfootball.com on Facebook, and obviously the website, so visit there. Sign up if you haven't signed up. Upload designs. There's a strong community on there where people will give you encouragement. They will talk about how you can improve your designs. There are people who will offer templates you could use if you don't know how to design these fantasy kits. But if you just want to come along to visit and have a look, see what's going on, then that's great as well. So thanks very much again, Austin. Speak to you again soon, I hope. And yeah, there'll be another podcast on its way very, very soon. Thanks very much. Bye-bye.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.